There's a time and a place for a fillet of fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first.
Good evening. The show begins tonight in Afghanistan. I'm speaking with Hussein Haqqani and Bill Raja, my colleagues. When did the mission in Afghanistan start to fail? Bill identifies early first Obama administration, the idea of the surge, the awakening in Afghanistan around Kandahar. Hussein Haqqani believes that that is the moment the U.S. doubts its role going forward and starts announcing exit dates or something like an exit date. So as Hussein said, the Taliban to win just had to wait. And the Mullah Omar witticism passed on by Hussein is that you've got the watches, America, we've got the time, Afghanistan, Taliban. These many years later, Mullah Omar has proved correct. We review the exit, we review the abuse of the Afghanistan citizens since the exit. Lessons learned. When you go into a country, stay to win. Don't think it's short term. Don't think it's to be planned. It's a tough lesson, and not many have ever learned it. You win the war, or don't go in. And then we turn to discussions of Hamas with Bill Raju, and I speak with Seth Frantzman in Jerusalem. Hamas is defeated in Rafah. Hamas is defeated in Khan Yunis. Hamas is defeated in Gaza. But it will reconstitute itself with weapons and people if the smuggling route from Egypt is left open. That's the Philadelphia corridor. What is to be done? We also discuss Hezbollah, the provocations in the north, the repeated missiles and drone attacks. Something must be done. What? Malcolm Honlein reports to Thaddeus McCutter and myself about a cabinet shakeup imminent in Israel. Likud dominates many of the important ministries, the defense ministry, for example, said to be change in the wind. Then Indiana Honlein joins to take us to the place, Mount Gerim, in a near Nablus, that is said to be the landing spot for Noah when the waters receded. There's another tradition that says it's in Turkey. This one is a Samaritan tradition, and it says it landed at a mountain, the highest point in Israel, I believe, 880 feet, at least in that part of Israel. Off to Ukraine to talk to John Hardy and Bill Raju about the story in Ukraine so far, the Kerch salient, what comes next. And is Russia taking the bait and looking to counterattack? Or is it continuing the attack on Ukraine? There's a manpower shortage in the front lines on both sides. Discussion at 10:45 about the Storm Shadow missile from the UK and Kiev looking for permission from the United Kingdom and the United States to use the Storm Shadow deep into Russia. An event that Vladimir Putin and other members of the Kremlin leadership have said will create a condition that the counterattack will be fierce. And this time, it doesn't sound like a bluff. But in any event, right now, the permission has not been given the Biden administration, indicating the end of the month, perhaps, for a decision. More Storm Shadow talk with Katrina Vandenhoevel of The Nation. Katrina's opinion is that the Kremlin is serious about this threat and will respond to the UK, to NATO, if and when the Storm Shadow is used. Off to the Philippines, where the PLA Coast Guard has bullied the Filipino Coast Guard that has retreated its one ship surrounded by dozens in the South China Sea. Where is the U.S. Navy? It's a question that is asked, and the answer is not obvious. They certainly know about the threat. Anyway, we're joined by Gordon Chang and myself are joined by James Fennell from Switzerland, former U.S. Navy captain, retired intelligence officer in the 7th Fleet. Hezbollah speaking to David Daoud about the threat made by Nasrallah at the funeral of one of his gunmen. Where is the threat? Was Nasrallah just bluffing? Was he making remarks for his audience and not real? It appears at this time that he's not going to act on it. But then again, every day Hezbollah is launching rockets into Israel and drones. So hard to imagine what the escalation is. Now, if Israel and when Israel and Israel must go north, that war is liable to grow into something much different than the one in Gaza, uncontained and global, at least in terms of taking sides. And Jeremy Zakas joins from New South Wales. It's very cold in the southern half of Australia. This is the southern hemisphere, southern half of the continent, from Antarctic winds. They're on the eve of springtime. It is a puzzle. The weather's odd. However, the animals and the blossoms don't care. They're out. There's blossoming all over New South Wales. The kangaroos are everywhere, wandering around. I saw one wander through a wedding party when it got warm for a day. The snakes are out also. Lots of eastern browns, very dangerous. Lots of red-bellied black snakes, very dangerous. All through New South Wales. So don't step on sticks. Don't pick one up. It's liable to be a great eastern. And if a great eastern bites you, you've got about an hour to get to an anti-venomed kit. Or you, as I understand, you start to slow down and freeze, numb, and then possible death. Surrounded by these snakes, they're swarming out in the conditions. They came out with the early warm weather, and then it got cold again. Conversation with my colleagues, Joseph Umar and Ernesto Araujo, first about Venezuela taking hostages. Americans, Spanish nationals, and a Czech national claiming they were plotting an assassination to undermine the authority of the Maduro regime. That's day one. Meantime, Gonzalez Arita, the man who is said to have won the presidential election July 28th, is in Madrid walking and talking with Pedro Sanchez, the prime minister of Spain. In other words, what we've got here is mother country has now endorsed the opposition in Venezuela. Venezuela is taking members of the mother country's citizenry hostage, claiming a plot. There will be a day two. And then a conversation about Javier Milei. He must succeed, and if he does, it's a defeat for the Peronistas, the Kirchneristas, and Joseph Umar says the narco-terrorists as well. Milei has made a big speech. Half the assembly didn't show up for it because they're Kirchneristas. They want him to fail. He is, however, bringing inflation down sharply, but it's a lot of pain for the people who are living on government checks. A lot of pain. In a conversation with Mark Simon about the jailed, incarcerated Jimmy Lai, the founder and publisher of Apple Daily that's been closed for more than 3 years. Jimmy's been in solitary confinement by the authorities from the Chinese Communist Party, but operating through agents in Hong Kong. And that is the definition of torture. Mark Simon joins to say what else is happening. Jimmy doesn't get his mail. He doesn't get materials to read. He's isolated. He doesn't get medical attention outside the prison. Why? Mark explains they want to break Jimmy, not to confess, not to point somebody, but to admit to the plot that he was the center of for foreign intervention in China. That's the story, that if he says, I did it, and signs a confession, something better will happen? Not even close. He's also in need of communion, and that is denied him as well. That's an issue that we'll hear about again. Catholic Church can get involved. The Pope was recently commenting about how he'd like to go to China. Well, there's a mission for the Pope. Get Jimmy Lai to have communion. He hasn't had it for 3.5 years. And then finally a conversation, at least some of the conversation about where we're headed next. Talking to Gordon Chang, about the Canadians' government interested in joining AUKUS. Charles Burton joins from Ottawa to comment on, surprise, the Canadian government. This is Trudeau's government. Suddenly ready to discover they're on the Pacific Rim and that China's a predator nation. After spending years rationalizing business with China, sales to China, cooperation with China, watching China try to influence peddle in the legislature. Now, joining AUKUS. That's Australia, the United Kingdom, and the U.S. banding together in a defense mechanism to stop China's aggression throughout East Asia and Western Pacific. There's much more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for listening.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.